Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Johnson. Happy rebrand day. The show formerly known as the Golf on CBS preview show that was on YouTube and now on TV is also becoming a podcast for everyone to listen to in their audio feeds. I guess first and foremost, Wags, biggest rebrand of your career. Is it coming over to the media side?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. I didn't know what I was getting into. And after 1 week, I fell in love.
Did you ever do any like equipment rebrand, sponsor rebrand, anything like that during the playing days?
Yeah, I was a Titleist guy for a long time and then switched in the middle of my career to TaylorMade. There was a great deal, just had to play the driver and woods and could play whatever else I wanted after that. That was probably the biggest move I made.
Okay, and how's the energy tank right now? Big stretch for you going from New Orleans, Miami, hometown this week. Energy still up?
It's up. I mean, this is 5 of 10 in a row we have with the CBS team. This week at home has fallen at a perfect time. Getting to spend 7, 8 nights in a row in my own bed is massive. So I don't know how happy my wife is about me going to be at home for this long, but I'm sure happy about it.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a golf fan. A lot of big time events, including this past weekend there in Miami, even though it was maybe a sleeper weekend because Cameron Young, Wags, put a stranglehold on this tournament. It feels like Friday afternoon and kind of just sucked the life out of it over the weekend and really ran away from the field.
Yeah, I was surprised. He's, I think, only the third wire-to-wire winner at Doral in the history of PGA Tour events being played there. Such a difficult golf course, made even more difficult with the renovation that went on about 12 years ago. Water in play on 14 of the 18 holes. It, the kind of golf course you'd be uncomfortable with a big lead, but he just put on an absolute clinic on the weekend. Anytime anybody got even remotely close, he just inched further and further away and did it with the putter, did it with the driver. I mean, Patrick, this guy is on fire right now. And finally, I think after his rookie year, with he had all those second place finishes, getting these three wins in such a short time, I mean, we're seeing the real Cam Young right now. And looking forward to the next three majors, I think he's going to be an obvious selection to nab one of those this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all eyes obviously fall to next week with the Ronald Mink. Kyle Strabinski's a Philly guy. I know that too. So some home cooking for the man on Cam Young's bag. I will say the conversation around this guy seems to be, is he a top three, top four player in the world? I want to change it a little bit, Johnson. Is he making golf look the easiest right now?
The way he drives the golf ball, I mean, on 16, 324 yards on Sunday, let me just casually fly this right into the middle of the green and hold it. Like nobody except Akshay Bhatia, I think, hit a shot like that into 16. The way he's putting, the way his short game was last week, out of some interesting sand, it was variable. Some were thin, some were soft, and then the rough was up. I mean, he's just making it all look so easy. His iron play was okay, but when you drive it as good as he does, you're going to have a lot of chances for birdies.
Yeah, and it seems like he's developed those off-speed pitches with the wedges a lot more. That's what I was most impressed with, I feel like, this week. I know when he won the Players' Championship, he mentioned on 17 he had the perfect number for a full sand wedge, and it was just one of those things that he got a little bit lucky with the yardage that day. But I thought this week and this weekend, Wags, the wedge play and being able to take a little bit off it, especially on Sunday after the rain came in, that's what I was most impressed with.
Yeah, being able to control that spin. I mean, he's certainly got all the shots in the game, all in the bag. And what's really impressive, when you have a pause like he does at the top of his swing, it allows you to vary speeds a lot easier than if you have a real quick, whippy transition. So I think this is just the beginning of Cam Young starting to win. I mean, Trevor Immelman on the telecast Saturday talked about the skill set that he has. Obviously, he doesn't have the wins that a Scheffler or a Cam Young have, Rory McIlroy right now, but he puts Cam Young's talent and skill set right there with those two top players in the world.
Yeah, definitely has the firepower. Last six starts on tour, T7 at Riv, T3 at API, win the Players, was in the final pairing at the Masters, finished T3, top 25 at Harbortown, and then a win this week at Cadillac. And he'll be right back to it with a signature event this weekend at the Truist Championship as well. So some other guys we got to clean up on. It feels like every weekend, Johnson, you're following Scottie Scheffler. What are we seeing from the world number one right now? And is it fair to say he's a little frustrated right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he talked a little bit after, I can't remember what round it was, but he talked with Amanda, I think it was Saturday, about how difficult a time he was having reading the greens at Doral. The grain was changing in some weird spots. It was doing things he wasn't thinking. Yeah, he seems a little bit frustrated, but at the same time, I mean, he is playing incredible golf. I walked with him on Saturday. Heavy, heavy winds, and there's a lot of crosswinds at Doral. He drove the ball beautifully. His iron play seemingly pin high on every single shot, including a 324-yard three-wood into the 12th was perfectly pin high. So I'm not worried about Scotty at all. I mean, not playing this week at the Truist, but obviously the PGA next week and then the run in Texas that he generally supports. So I think Scotty's going to be just fine. I've been very impressed the rounds. I've gotten to walk with him recently. The driver, he's switched back to his old model, and it seems to be, obviously he's still going to miss some fairways, but he's driving it much better than he was at the beginning of the year.
And the 3M Open later this summer, a surprise commitment there. Maybe he just needs to see one go through the hoop at this point. Maybe that's why he added the 3M Open. I will say I was digging into Scheffler this time last year and now. Strokes gained wise, he's actually playing better than he was in 2025. And then you look at the nine starts he had last year, he had, I believe, four top five finishes in the win at the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, which was before the PGA Championship last year. This year, six top five finishes and the win as well. So very similar like trajectories going in the second major. But does it still feel maybe a little bit different than this time last year?
It does. It's just the way he's starting the tournaments, and it's becoming a little bit of a habit right now. I mean, the 71 first round at Doral wasn't bad, but when you look up that leaderboard and Jordan Spieth had shot 65, Cam Young had shot 64, he's just putting himself so far back. It's like he's spotting the leader of tournaments 6 to 10 shots in that opening round, and that's going to have to clean up. I think Aronimink sets up well for him, though, and I would just about guarantee he's going to have a chance on Sunday because he seemingly does every time he tees it up.
Yeah, it's almost like his game, Scheffler's game, is patience and execution and just being the last man standing almost. And it feels like over the weekends, he's had to alter that to pin his ears back a little bit. And I think that's where some of the frustration is coming from. It's like he has to play this way to catch these guys. And the margin is just so thin, even for the world number one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, when you think about his major victories last year, and I think I was lauding him last year about how he was blowing fields away. And I think this has been an interesting skill set for him to be a chaser on Sundays. And I think that's going to pay off. He's going to get back on the horse. He's going to start winning tournaments again real soon. And to be able to have that different gear to be able to go out and be the chaser, I think that's going to pay off and help him be able to extend leads as we go forward.
Yeah, I think everyone's expecting a big summer. Are we at the point, Wags? We got a big four on the PGA Tour with Scheffler, Rory, Fitz, and Cam Young. Are you ready to state that?
Is Rory playing enough to be considered in there right now?
I think he's completed four tournaments so far this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Fitz is playing incredible golf, won three times, now Cam twice this year. Yeah, they're the top four players in the world. I'm comfortable with that. I want to see Fitz show up in a big way in the remaining three majors this year before I really feel comfortable with that, because I think we can definitely count on Rory and Scotty being in the hunt at these next three majors. Can we count on Fitz at that level yet? I hope so.
Okay, interesting enough. Some cleanup duties we have to do here. Adam Scott, really nice backdoor top five there, kind of secured his place in the U.S. Open most likely. Ricky Fowler, kind of the same deal. Good enough finish to get inside the top 60 in the OWGR. And then Ben Griffin, finally starting to play some better golf here, Wags. I know you mentioned you were talking to him at the Zurich Classic a little bit. What have you seen from Griffin after a really good 25 and seems to be shaking off the cobwebs a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him at the beginning of this year, but his first top 10 of the year was at Zurich playing with Andrew Novak, and I walked with him Sunday. He is carrying himself with a tremendous amount of confidence. I love the swagger in which he plays golf. He just has this chest out, shoulders back. He's got this confident walk, and it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence, and I really am impressed. The putter looked good. Sunday, he was in complete control of his game until the bogey on 18, which was, I mean, what an unfortunate bogey to go from a T2 to a solo three in an event like that with a purse that big. But still, a great week, and I actually was on the flight with his caddy, Alex Ridhamel, on the way up to Charlotte on Sunday night, and Alex said he's playing the best he's seen him in a long time. He's working on a little bit of a new move, trying to be not quite so cupped into impact with the left wrist, trying to get a little shaft lean into it, and it's really started paying off these last 2 weeks.
I will say Griffin always find, maybe it's just because Scheffler is on every single leaderboard, but it felt like him and Scotty kind of went back and forth a couple times last year. And even for the A flight last week there at the Cadillac, you think about the Charles Schwab Memorial too. It seems like he plays some of his better golf on maybe some of these more difficult golf courses. Some other guys, Alex Fitzpatrick Johnson, 1 week after securing his PGA Tour card, people thought maybe this guy didn't deserve it. Shuts him up right away. Top 10 finish. Drove the ball. Just awesome all week, I thought. And moving up those FedEx Cup points, and maybe he could threaten the Tour Championship by the end of the summer, for all we know.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he definitely has that sort of skill level. Been having conversations about Alex for a long time. Went to school at Wake Forest, just up the road from Charlotte, where I live. Actually played with him one day when the Wake Forest golf team came down to play at Quail Hollow. Guy's got an unbelievable short game, incredible touch around the greens. He, at one point, I said he was going to be better than his brother Matt, but now Matt is sort of proving me wrong in that, picking off these three wins in the last couple months.
When'd you say that?
I said it last year on radio show with my good friend Brendan DeYoung, and he made me fully aware of that after Matt's second win of the season at Harbortown.
That's recent. I thought you were going to go like before Matt's U.S. Open or something like that, but I like it. You know, there's still a lot of runway out there for him. You never know.
Never know. And signature event here in Charlotte this week. He's going to have a lot of support. A lot of members at Quail know him really well, and I think it's going to be some good home cooking. I look for him to continue the good play.
Like you mentioned, another signature event this week. We're going to touch on that after the break. Kind of the influx of signature events in between the Masters and the PGA. Wiles may be a little bit sleepy there at Miami. We'll touch on that on Scorecard Rebrand. Watch out. Alert yourself after the break here.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to Scorecard Wags. We got to talk about the signature events, and I'll kick off the conversation with this question. From a player's perspective, what separates a tournament from all the others? I guess when you were playing, what were your favorite tournaments to go to?
I loved playing, obviously, at home at Quail, Memorial, Riviera. I like a good locker room. I like good food, and obviously a great golf course. And I just feel like players love the signature events right now. They like the fact that there's only 72 guys. Practice rounds are a lot faster. But, man, I'm telling you what, Patrick, the more I'm at these events, especially early in the week, there just is something lacking.
Okay, so describe the scene out there in Miami. Obviously, F1 was in town, major market. That's kind of a PGA Tour push going into probably 2028, trying to hit those a bit more. Miami, not really a golf city, I would say, with the people, just a lot of other things to do out there. What was the atmosphere at Doral this week?
Yeah, so I got down. I took a walk on the course on Thursday. I hadn't seen the course in over 10 years, so I wanted to check it out and see everything. And it was shocking to me. I probably, in walking the golf course, I probably bumped into 15 to 20 fans. There was nobody out there on Thursday. I think I timed it well. I think most of the spectators were around Scottie Scheffler, so I didn't see him while I was out there, which probably is part of the reason why I didn't see any fans. But then I'm telling you, Saturday, I was walking with Scheffler, biggest crowds of the on the course, and there were some people, but it was really lacking. And then as I'm driving back in, because Scotty was about the fifth or sixth last pairing on Saturday, I'm driving back in and I see Dottie wave to her as I'm driving by the 15th hole. She's with the final group. There was maybe 20 people around the tee box on 15, which is a really cool par three. It would have been a great place to sit and watch shots all day long. I don't know why it happened that way. I mean, maybe Miami in May isn't the best idea. I think that event should be moved up. But when you look at signature events as a whole, I was out at Quail Hollow yesterday. There's no spectators allowed on Monday or Tuesday at signature events. And so the tournament, in my opinion, doesn't have the ability to sort of build as the week goes on. I played this tournament, the Truist, for 15 years. And Monday and Tuesday, there were more crowds around the golf course at Quail Hollow than most other events on a Saturday, Sunday. So to lose those 2 days, it just doesn't feel like the spectators have the momentum going into the week.
Has that always been the case for signature events? I was unaware of that.
I think it's kind of started this year, and I know the PGA Tour Championship Management has started running the Truist Championships this year specifically. I think there were spectators, and there was a Monday Pro-Am last year. No Monday Pro-Am. And the only way I can think that it makes sense is that if you have the gates open on a Monday, Tuesday, really the PGA Tour and the tournaments are making their money off of corporate hospitality. And if you don't open the gates, a lot of those corporate boxes, you're going to have to be manned, they're going to have to be staffed, all the concession stands. And I think the Monday, Tuesday crowd is generally a sort of a general admission crowd that's not going into those corporate skyboxes. So the tour is probably thinking, well, we can just save some money Monday, Tuesday by not allowing spectators. And I just think it's a miss, and I think it's something that needs to change going forward, because a lot of people, when they go attend golf tournaments, they say they love going to the practice rounds because they can get more up and close and personal to the players. The players are more willing to sign autographs and chat with some spectators. So I think it's been a little bit of a miss by the tour.
Do you think the cadence of the schedule has anything to do with it? You would think maybe there's some fatigue from people watching on TV. You get the same product every single week, 72 players, like you mentioned, typically just big ballparks like Quail Hollow and Trump National Doral. But for people in those areas, you don't think the fatigue would affect them necessarily, right?
No, I don't think so. And I expect big crowds tomorrow, always on Wednesday at Quail. The crowds are big. They'll be big all week long. I know ticket sales have done quite well. So I'm not worried about that. And I think there'll be plenty of buzz just because Charlotte supports this event so much. And I think it's more getting back to Doral and Miami. The PGA Tour has made it a point under Brian Rolapp's leadership to get back to the big markets. But when you look historically at when we go to big markets, I mean, I think about Washington, D.C. It was always flat when we played up there, not big crowds whatsoever. There's just too many other things to do in big cities like that. Do you disagree?
Come on, man. I was a young buck just roaming the grounds of Congressional back in the day. I was there, Johnson. I was there for you guys. AT&T National, Booz Allen Classic. That was my jam.
I like playing up there. I'm not saying I don't like playing up there, but I don't think the crowds really show up in the D.C. area, and that's why we're not back there every year.
I agree. I mean, just look at a place like Hilton Head, for example. That should be a sleepy portion of the calendar. Week after the Masters, everyone has a hangover, but golf is the show in town, and that is a very golf-centric community, and you saw the crowds out there in spades. I mean, the atmosphere, whether you want to talk about the USA chance or not, like that's beside the point. They were chanting stuff. They were there for the final day, and I think I'm totally in agreement with you. I think the push for major markets could maybe have some poor effects, I think, on the atmosphere of these tournaments.
And John, the John Deere Classic is always used as an example by the tour or whoever to get away from small markets. The John Deere Classic in the Quad Cities has some of the best crowds of the year. It's the only thing going on in town that week. They don't really have any other professional sports. So the city, the four cities, shows out for that event. And I just think the small markets, even playing on the Corn Ferry Tour, when we were in Omaha, Nebraska, Boise, Idaho, these towns love their professional sports. And when golf comes to town, they show up.
Omaha. I will say, what do we think we can do about the signature events just themselves? Let's not talk about the cities they're going to, but the actual, I would say, format of them. Should we add more players? Should there be a cut at the 36-hole mark? Kind of, what are your improvements for these signature events?
I mean, they definitely, fields need to be at least 100. You can cut to 50 in ties if you want, but there has to be a cut. I've heard a lot of players say when they play signature events, there's the lack of spectators Monday, Tuesday. They kind of ease their way in Thursday, Friday, knowing that there's no cut. Yes, you have to have Friday afternoon mean something again on the PGA Tour, at least 100 players. I would prefer to see 120. That was always the field size for invitationals, which were kind of the OG signature events, if you will, and they weren't always easy to get into. You think about Bay Hill, Memorial, Colonial, Tigers event. Like that's where field sizes need to be. If we're playing for $20 million, I think more than 72 players need a chance at it.
And I will say this, we kind of had this conversation back when people wanted the Players Championship to be a major. The more signature events you have, the less each one means. It's just a math equation, right? We have eight right now, so everyone is worth 1/8 of a signature event, more or less. And I wouldn't be opposed to cutting some of them down. I think you make the player invitationals the big crown jewels of the PGA Tour schedule, maybe add a one or two, whatever you want to do. But I think by cutting the signature events, they were made, one, so all the guys would play together, which isn't happening, and two, so these guys would get money that wasn't from LIV. And we've seen what's going on over there. That threat might be, you know, folding over the next year or so. We'll see what happens in that regard. But I wouldn't be opposed to scaling back the number of signature events as well, Johnson.
Well, I mean, to your point, to have five of the top 15 players in the world skip out on a $20 million purse last week in Doral, it shows you that the model isn't quite perfect. I mean, Rory McIlroy skipped the last two. Obviously, he's stated plenty of times that he's going to play places this year that he wants to play and that he looks forward to playing and just doesn't like the golf course at Doral. I don't blame him.
Yeah, and I will say just having them so close to major championships is so tough. And one thing I don't like is I thought we were done with Florida golf for the year. Mentally, I was done with Florida golf, and then we're back in Florida. I think once you leave, you can't come back. You can't come back. I don't like it that way.
I'm with you, and it was hot down there. Whew, I don't like being in Miami in May.
All right. Well, we got more from the world of golf. John Rahm and the DP World Tour back in bed together, apparently. Nelly Korda is winning again and again and again. And we've got some Ryder Cup news coming here on Scorecard after the break.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to Scorecard. Make sure you guys subscribe for all your podcast needs and whatever audio feeds you go and listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple. I think there's like a million others these days, Jonathan. I can't keep up. But those are the two big ones that people need to subscribe to. Question for you, Wags. Who's the hottest player in the world right now? Stuart Cink, Nelly Korda, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Oof, that's a great question. Probably Stuart Cink. I mean, he's got four wins this year. He's balling out two majors. I mean, Stuart Cink's going to maybe have a best Champions Tour season ever.
And mind you, you scoffed at me when I said this guy's going to be playing vice captain for the Ryder Cup. And, Jim Furyk was at the Kentucky Derby, announced that he was a vice captain. And then Stuart Cink won this past week, his second major, like you mentioned. Furyk also adds Justin Leonard to the leadership room. Wags, it seems like we're kind of running back the President's Cup playbook that we saw in Royal Montreal, both those guys in involvement there when the U.S. beat Team International.
Are you as shocked as I am that this will be Justin Leonard's first time as an assistant captain on a Ryder Cup team? I am mind blown by that.
And like we were talking about, like U.S. Ryder Cup moments, there aren't many the past couple decades. And the last good one, it seems like, outside of Boo Weekly kind of running down the fairways at Valhalla, was Justin Leonard in the putt at Brookline. But I did read somewhere that he's had opportunities, but he's turned them down just because the timing wasn't well. But I am surprised. But you have any thoughts on Cink and Leonard running it back with Furyk?
Stuart Cink, I mean, I love all three of the guys. Stuart Cink, I thought he was going to be the captain at Bethpage when Tiger decided not to do it. So, no, I'm fine with it. But it's, Keegan Bradley was, I thought, the bridge captain. Obviously, we've had this discussion last week after Furyk was announced. It just seems like this is more of the old guard. I would prefer to see the younger captain structure with the guys like Webb and Brandt and start grooming some potential future captains. I don't see Justin Leonard or Stuart Cink being the captain going forward, but I think they'll do a great job.
Interesting. I'm not ready to throw Cink's name out of the equation quite yet. I do think with Leonard, I think it's kind of unfortunately passed him by, but I'm with you. If you can add Webb, Brandt, and then some of these guys who are pushing forward, I wouldn't mind, honestly, Wags, is it crazy to be like, hey, Keegan Bradley, you want to be a vice captain for this Ryder Cup?
I mean, if he's not on the team, I think it's a great idea. Another guy, you mentioned him earlier, he played well last week, Ricky Fowler. If Ricky Fowler's not on the team, you've got to get this guy in the room as an assistant captain, because he is going to be a Ryder Cup captain at some point in his career. And I think the sooner you get those guys involved, the better their captaincy will be when they get that turn.
And I mean, it's crazy to say, but like even guys like Spieth, JT, like you got to start thinking about it at this point, because unfortunately, I think it's probably fair to say their best playing days are behind. Not that they can't compete and contend and win majors and stuff like that, but the best you think Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth have yet to play their best golf?
No, I don't. I think you're spot on. I'm just sad to hear you say it that way, because I want Jordan Spieth to have a resurgent year and have a 2015 type season. But you're probably right. It's not going to happen. More likely is to have a Tiger Woods 2018-19 where he has a couple wins and can pick off a major. But it's not going to be. I mean, JT, what does he have? 15 wins, and that happened. 14 of them happened in a pretty narrow window. So I think you're probably right about that. Unfortunately,
I know. I feel old saying that. I mean, those were the guys I was watching. So, look, Spieth will win next week and make us all look like fools and complete the career grand slam. He had a good round at Doral. So we have something to lean back on. Someone who seemingly does not have a bad round at all these days, Johnson, is Nelly Korda. Won again on the LPGA. She won by 5 at the Chevron, of course, at Memorial Park. And then she just won by 4 at 17 under. I believe she's been leading after 7 of the last 8 rounds on the LPGA. And I think what impresses me the most, and you could probably speak on it with some experience at Mayakoba, how different these golf courses were.
I was just going to say, I mean, you talk about Chevron and Memorial Park. It's the most wide open ballpark imaginable. And play that against Mayakoba. It is the tightest golf course that you can imagine with. Not only is it tight, it's not like trees tight. It's hazard. It's a penalty area, water, mangroves down either side of both sides of every fairway. It is it's a really tough golf course. The wind blows. That just shows you how on point Nelly's game is right now.
Yeah, and I mean, she is quietly, probably not quietly, but loudly approaching Hall of Fame status on the LPGA. It's obviously a points-based system. And, they have some really good venues upcoming in their major championships with Hazeltine for the PGA and then, of course, Riviera for the U.S. Open. So golf fans will be able to kind of recognize those venues from the men's game when Nelly is likely in contention and trying to knock down those major championships as well. It seems like Johnson, she's kind of learned from her run in 2024. Do you think that's fair to say?
I think so. And I think last year, when we look back at her career, last year is going to be the anomaly. I think what we're seeing now is more of what we expect out of her. I mean, the way she hits it. I mean, I love the Grant Thornton week, the when the guys get to play with Nelly and all the other ladies, that they say she's got the best golf swing in golf. And it's impressive what she's able to do with it.
It is. And like you mentioned, the way she's driving the golf ball right now, it's not just like accurate. It's like pinpoint right down the mow line every single time. And she's one of the longest hitters out there, too. It just seems like she's playing a completely different game compared to her peers. Someone playing on a completely different league right now, Johnson, is John Rahm. He was speaking ahead of LIV Golf Virginia this morning there at Trump National, D.C. Seems like, inauspicious timing. Him and the DP World Tour are all buddy-buddy. He mentioned that they have agreed to terms for a conditional release. Obviously, they're going back and forth. I believe Rahm said they were extorting players for making them play two more times at one point. But seems like they've come to agreement. Word on the street is he won't have to play six times, but only five.
What did you say? A great negotiating skills by
master negotiator. Yeah,
it's interesting the timing of this too. I mean, I know LIV looks like they're going to play this week in DC, but then after the PGA Championship, they go to South Korea. I think the puzzle pieces are all starting to come together. And Rahm, who had been so outspoken about not wanting to pay his fines and come back to the DP World Tour, especially this year in a Ryder Cup year, I'm sure he would have made it work. But because you have to be a member of the DP World Tour to play on a Ryder Cup team, a European team, I think it's coming sooner than the end of this season for LIV. I just don't see it lasting much longer with the New Orleans news coming out that happened. I don't see it. I don't see it, Patrick.
And the quote from the DP World Tour is, the DP World Tour and John Rahm have come to an agreement on conditional release to playing conflicting tournaments on LIV Golf during the remainder of its 2026 season. This involves payment of all outstanding fines accrued from 2024 to date, along with participation in agreed DP World Tour tournaments outside the majors in the remainder of 2026. So Rahm is playing one more tournament than he wanted to, and he's paying all the fines. And like you mentioned, it comes at a time that LIV Golf loses its funding. I don't know if you mentioned or saw, Johnson, the people they added to the boardroom are guys who are known for stripping things to parts and selling them. Unfortunately, Spirit Airlines, who just went bankrupt, was one of those for one of the individuals. And it seems like if you're reading the tea leaves, this could be the end of LIV Golf within the near future.
Yeah, I just don't see the business model really lasting. I know Scott O'Neill spoke as well today and talked about the potential revenue that's involved in the teams. I don't know what company or organization that is going to want to buy a LIV Golf team right now. It's clearly going the wrong direction. We've talked about this on the show for weeks now, and it's sad for all the people involved. There's a lot of good people over there, not only on the golf course, but behind the scenes. So I wish all of them the best and hope they can land in a decent spot.
And if you want to look at the optimistic viewpoint, if you're in the LIV Golf corner and why Rahm's doing this now, I think you look at their schedule and say, okay, the event in New Orleans is not happening. He needs somewhere to play in between the U.S. Open and the Open. Oh, he can play in the BMW International in Germany or the event in Italy. That's in between there. And that's why he's doing it now. Although I don't think many people are picking up what I'm throwing down right there. Some other news and notes from around the world, Johnson. This one came as a little bit of a surprise Monday morning. Colin Morikawa not making the trip up to Charlotte. What's the concern level for him right now?
I'm very concerned. I walked with him for a few holes Sunday at Harbortown. It looked like every step hurt a little bit. And, you know, the way he looked finishing at Augusta. Now, granted, he played great at Augusta and played really nicely at Harbortown as well, but clearly was swinging at like 85% of what he's capable of. I want him to get back and healthy. It just stinks because he's come back with the win at Pebble, with the way he's played. This seemed like the year where he was going to get back to winning ways and contending major championships and winning major championships again. So I hope he can rest, get healthy, and come back strong at whatever point that is this year.
It is crazy how it just flips on a dime for these guys. We saw the confidence there after Pebble, looked like he was one of the best players in the world, if not the most confident player in the world. And then the Players' Championship, the back injury happens, and now we're left with a huge question mark for the rest of the season. And I mean, hopefully not for the rest of his career with what's going on with his back, which has been a thing a little bit now. If I gave you Fitz, Young, Rory, and Scotty versus the field next week, who are you taking?
I'm taking those players for sure.
Yeah. No Ludwig or anyone else?
I mean,
Ludwig, like Xander coming back?
I think, when we get to our can win later, I'm going to make you very, very happy this week.
Okay. And then Bryson DeChambeau, obviously, he withdrew from LIV Golf Mexico City, I think with the wrist injury. I think he was maybe not too happy with all the conditioning out there in Mexico City. But he returns this week, too. And Bryson's been a guy who's been in just about every PGA championship since it's moved to May.
Ronimink, I was there a couple weeks ago for a day, and it is in great condition. They took down a lot of trees out there, and yeah. I think it is a wonderful setup for Bryson. I do think he can have a nice run there.
I was going through the Google Earth, Johnson. It feels like carry distance is going to be something that could really separate players next week. It seems to do so at Quail Hollow too.
It's professional. The whole game of professional golf, there's very few venues anymore. I would say Waialae, which is no longer on the schedule next year, and then Hilton Head. There's very few. Valspar, very few events that accuracy and hitting it straight really matters.
All right. Well, we'll get into the Truist Championship in Quail Hollow after the break. Johnson's home course. He's going to give us all the goodies about what to expect, what to look out for there, and of course the Green Mile. How can you forget? I love when a stretch of holes is named after something. We'll get in all that and more on Scorecard after the break.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, we're back here on Scorecard. Johnson Wagner, Patrick McDonald. Wags, home game this week. How pumped are you to be at home? And any Charlotte restaurants that you want to tell the viewers to hit or maybe even avoid?
No, I'm not going to go there on the avoid, but some of my favorite spots are Brick Tops, which is in the South Park area, real close to Quail Hollow. And the best, my favorite place my wife and I go is a place called Barrington's, real small restaurant right there, kind of in the South Park area as well, close to Quail. So those are two must-goes for all the players and caddies and fans here this week.
All right. If you guys want to run into Johnson, you guys know where to go this week. Wags, Quail Hollow, like you mentioned, it's on the calendar every single year. Last year is the PGA Championship venue. Do we expect it to play like last year's PGA Championship? It was a wet week, if I recall correctly, in Charlotte during last year's PGA.
It was. We had such a great weather leading into the PGA Championship, and then it just rained horribly Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even later in the week as well. But it got firm and fast by the weekend. Patrick, we are in severe drought conditions here. My front yard looks like it's July, and it hasn't rained in 6 months. So the fairways are going to be really firm and fast. A little bit of rain in the forecast on Thursday morning, but we haven't had over an inch of rain in probably 2 months. So the course can handle a little bit of moisture right now. A little bit of an issue we had such a warm spring and we overseed the golf course from, you know, wall to wall. The greens are overseeded with a Poa trivialis sort of overseed. It was so warm that the greens, the Bermuda came in and sort of choked out the Poa triv overseed. And then last week we had a couple nights back in the low 40s, which sort of stunted the growth of the Bermuda grass greens that are the base. And so they kind of went back into dormancy, and they're not going to look as perfect as they usually do, but they're still rolling pretty darn true. It's a golf course is in fantastic shape. We have this apron grass. It's called Tahoma. It's a Bermuda, and it's a really tight growing, very little grain. The few holes I walked yesterday, it is so firm and tight. If you're not comfortable using the leading edge, you better get comfortable, because chipping around these greens can be difficult this week.
Are you using a lot of putter when you're playing out there?
Well, now I am. When you're comfortable with impact, it's so much fun to hit off of. When you're not comfortable with impact, it can be difficult. Actually, about 2 months ago, I was to the short right of number 10, par 5, and it's a little collection area with this Tahoma grass. And I was playing with my son and brother and his son, my nephew, and I hit a chip shot where I took a divot behind the ball and the club head jumped over the ball. I didn't even make contact with it. So I don't think we're going to see that happen at the Truist Championship this week, but that's what happens to me out there currently.
Well, I'm pumped for you to recreate some shots at your home course. You got a comfort level this week. I'm expecting some good stuff from you. Everyone talks about the Green Mile, but do you have a favorite stretch here at Quail Hollow?
I mean, just before the Green Mile, I think 14 is one of the greatest drivable par fours in the game. It's a hole that if you match the shot shape with the hole, it really calls for a little bit of right to left movement, and it hits the hill and kicks right onto the green. I think it's one of the greatest risk reward drivable par fours, not only on the PGA Tour, but anywhere in the world. 14, 15. The par 5 15 is incredible. The whole back nine, I think, is outstanding. And on the front nine, my favorite hole is 7. Great risk-reward par 5 with the pond there, short right, and a wild green with a big front bowl that you can use the slopes to get a second shot or a wedge shot, in my case, down close to the hole.
Yeah, I think that's your house there on 7, if I recall correctly, that one.
the 50,000-square-foot one, yeah, that's definitely my house.
Yeah. So you know where Wags lives, you know where he likes to eat. So if you're in Charlotte, just, ring the doorbell there. He'll let you in. I will say I do love that drivable par 4, and we saw there last year during the PGA Championship, John Rahm had a really good chance to catch Scottie Scheffler down the stretch, and he didn't take advantage of the par 4 or the par 5 after that. Just some of the short game shots, unfortunately, was not there for him. But we also get some new names in the field, not new names, but guys who weren't in the field last week, Rory, Fitz, Ludwig, Xander as well. A lot of the big guys are back in the mix. How pumped are you for that?
It's great. I mean, it's sad that we don't have Scheffler, but at the same time, having all those other guys makes up for it. The city, I mentioned it earlier, this city shows out so well for this tournament. I'm excited. I'm going to go out there this afternoon. I'll be out there all day tomorrow. I'll be out there as a fan on Thursday and Friday. This is a really special week. My son's going to be out there, my whole family. We always look forward to this week.
Why is this golf course dubbed Rory McIlroy Country Club by Jordan Spieth? What makes it such a great fit for him?
Well, it's long. I mean, from the back tees, it measures a little over 7,600 yards. And there's a lot of bunkers in play that we keep trying to move tees back so Rory can't carry them. 16 comes to mind, but still, he's like the only guy in this field that can carry some of these bunkers. And he can just make this place look so short, which is hard to do with the length of this plane right now. And another thing, with the fairways being so firm, we mow everything down grain off the tee. So Augusta mows back into it so it plays longer. We mow it down grain, and with the fairways being firm, the ball is going to be going forever this week.
Interesting. You got any, you mentioned you're going out as a fan. You got any good viewing spots? I'm sure you'll be in the corporate tents going hoity-toity, shaking big wigs' hands, kissing babies, doing all that fun stuff. But if you were a member of Gen Pop, Wags, where are you viewing golf this week?
Well, it's where I was at the President's Cup. I would take chairs down there right in the early morning, and I'd park it right on 7 Green. 7 Green has this wonderful little hillside to the left where you can sit up and see all of the green. You can watch second shots come in, and if you turn around, you can be right on the 8th tee, which some days they move the tee up and make that hole drivable as well. 7 Green's my absolute favorite spot on the front. And then there's a little spot behind 12 Green as well. You can watch 12 Green and 13, two great holes.
All right. Well, now everyone knows where to view, where to catch Wags at dinner, and where to catch them at home. We're going to get you caught up on who's going to win and who can't win next here on Scorecard after the break.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And we are back here on Scorecard. Wags, I don't mean to toot our own horn. We're getting a little hot, I think, with the picks. We talked about JJ Spahn at the Texas Open. That was you. You had Zurich Classic winner, Fitzpatrick Brothers. And then Cameron Young was on my can win as well. And I'm giving us some leniency where it's not just our winner. It's who can win as well for correct picks. I think that's fair, right?
And we haven't had a can't win win yet as well, so we're starting to heat up at the right time.
And we're playing the hits this week. It's a hometown event for you. You're going to go with the reliables. Who you got for who cannot win this week at Quail Hollow?
Well, Max Homa, he's a two-time champion of this event. One of them was up at TPC Avenel or whatever it's called now, TPC Potomac. I just haven't seen enough out of Max to think that he can get back in the winner's circle or seeing some steady improvements. Jordan Spieth, it pains me. He didn't play this event very often back in the day. He doesn't play it very often because he doesn't play it well. So Jordan Spieth, no chance to win this week. And he's sitting in the ninth alternate spot, so I got to put him on there. Wyndham Clark cannot win
ninth?
This week. He's ninth alternate.
He's What a cop out. He's not going to get in.
It's a little shocking. You know, he won this tournament in 2023 and didn't get a sponsor exemption. So that's got to sting a little bit.
Yeah, it's got to sting. I imagine some of his actions in last year's PGA might have been a cause of that. You know, of course, not really activating the T-Mobile sponsorship there. My can't win this week is going to be Jake Knapp. Injury concern, just don't love it. Think it is generally a good fit for him. Same with Victor Hovland when he's playing in his A game, but just not doing it right now. The driver continues just to evade him. And then Tommy Fleetwood is among my can't win. It's been a sleepy month for him. All right, who you got winning this week, Wags?
Well, I have winning this week. I think Ricky Fowler's playing good golf, picked up his first win here. Also, you can't not have Rory McIlroy on your can win list at Quail Hollow. So I've got Rory, but who is going to win is a guy that has done everything but win at Quail Hollow. He's had a couple runner-ups. X-Man, your guy.
X-Man, I love it. He's fallen into some bad habits, though, of those backdoor top 10s. We need to get him back into contention late weekend tee times and not just like a final round 64 to finish T4. So I'm rooting for you. I got Matt Fitzpatrick again this week, though, playing good. I don't know why his numbers as long as some of the other guys. Ludvig Åberg back in the mix. And then Sahith Theegala is my flyer this week. Driving it well, has been playing the signature events well, and finished the Trump National Doral, finished with a really good final round, 64. And then finally, Wags, I am curious. You mentioned Rory. How many is he going to win by this week? I know you mentioned Xander, but how?
Well,
many
he's not going to win because Xander's going to win.
Okay, fair enough. That'll do it for us. But we are back on the podcast feeds. You can watch the Truist Championship this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, on CBS and Paramount Plus at 3. And you can catch us anywhere you get your podcast on Golf on CBS, YouTube, and Scorecard for your post round recaps.
Podcasts.